What I want to do now is close the door, if I can just bother you for that. And to begin, in our discussion today, let's just review a few points that we made yesterday so that we can see where we're holding today. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. All right, what do we have here? We have a Tosfos that we covered yesterday. Again, I'm not going to go through it again. It's on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, again, that we did yesterday. So you don't have to have the page in front of you. I'm just going to summarize so that we all come together, if you know what I mean. So what do we have over there? Tosfos Divrei Maskil Chutz and Tosfos Divrei Maskil Bechovel. So let's just summarize what we have. We have, according to Shitas HaTosfos, a machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan within Rabbi Shimon, whereas Rabbi Avo says that according to Rabbi Shimon, a complete total kilkul is chayav in chovel, and there's no need for any tikkun whatsoever. Rabbi Yochanan has a different opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and he requires a tikkun ktsas, which we discussed in terms of tzarach dam lekalbo and tzarach havar li afro. And why is this called a tikkun ktsas? Why isn't it a full-fledged tikkun? Because obviously the deficits outweigh the benefits. True, you have some dam to feed your kelev, but does that justify hitting someone, victimizing someone, assaulting him, taking out his blood? Or we have Afer now. That's wonderful, you have Afer. But therefore you burn down a haystack? So if we put on the scale, the kilkul and the tikkun, it's weighed down in favor of the kilkul. That's called a tikkun ktsas. And in fact, according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, that's not called a tikkun. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Chovel Vitzarech Dam Lekalbo, he would not be Chayev. In the case of Mavir Vitzarech Li Afro, he would not be Chayev. Because Rabbi Yehuda is not impressed with this concept called tikkun ktsas. However, Rabbi Shimon is impressed with tikkun ktsas, and that's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan in interpreting Rabbi Shimon, that as long as he gets some benefit from this chavala or from this havara, that already upgrades it to the level of a tikkun, and therefore he's chayav. As we said before, Rabbi Avo takes Rabbi Shimon one step further and he says chovel umaver are chayav even for a full-fledged tikkun, a full-fledged kilkul. Then we had Tosfos' kasha. Well, okay, fine. You're going to tell me that Rav Shimon holds your chayav in chovel, but why are you chayav? After all, if he only needs the dam for his kelev, if he only needs the afer for cooking his egg, that's called a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, and it should be exactly similar to chofer guma, the ein tzarech elo li afra. So here we have a shitas atosvis, that it's possible on the one hand to have a kilkul, and on the other hand, to have a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. I'm sorry, a malacha tzricha legufa. And that's where we had the whole discussion, the scenario about Isurei Hanoah. He doesn't know that it's Asur Hanoah, so he needs it, and therefore it's Letzar Gufa. But in objective terms, it's called a kilkul. Now Tosfos asks Akasha, what about Shechita? Shechita itself, the Gemara says you're chayav for, if you shecht on Shabbos, and yet it's a kilkul. How do I know it's a kilkul? This was the Sugyan Chulin Daf Ches that established that a sakin shel avodah zarah muta lishchot bo, because that's not called Isurei Hanoah. Why isn't it getting Hanoah? Because the shechita itself, the Gemara says, is a kilkul. So Tosfos asks, if the shechita is a kilkul, then why are you chayev for shechita? And that's a double kash. It's a kash according to Rav Shimon in the light of Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Shimon. Because Rav Yochanan, if you recall, says that Rav Shimon requires a tikkun, at least a tikkun ktsas. It's an even stronger kash according to Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda holds that in the case of Chovel of Mavi, you're not chayef for a kilkul. If you're not chayef for a kilkul, why are you chayef for shchita on Shabbos if shchita is called, is classified as a kilkul? So Tosus came up with a very strange distinction that we worked very hard on yesterday. And Tosus says that as far as the Surya Anah is concerned, there we ask the question, which outweighs which, the benefits or the deficits? And since the animal is worth so much more when it's alive, then after Shechita, the depreciation is such that now that's called a kilkul and that's not called hana. But as far as Meleches Shabbos is concerned, there we have a new principle called Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. And since he wanted the Shechita, and the Shechita is going to create a tikkun, although again, in the broader picture, it's a kilkul, but he does have a tikkun, and if he wants that tikkun, and that's how he set up the malacha of Shechita, then we activate the principle of Meleches Machsheves. And here we had a whole discussion yesterday about Meleches Machsheves Lekula and Meleches Machsheves Lechumra. Normally, under 99.9% of the cases, Meleches Machsheves is a kula. Here's the 1% exception to the rule where it's Meleches Machsheves lechumra. And even though, from the standards of kilkul and tikkun of kolatar kula, this would be considered, shechita would be considered a kilkul, but in Shabbos, since he's interested, he has vested interest in the shechita, and he gets whatever benefit he gets from it, now he can eat the basar. Then Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah is a Chumran Shabbos that tells me that this is upgraded to the status of Malacha based on his Machshava, based on the fact that he desires this Shechita. Then we ask the following question. Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us in the case of Shechita that you're Chayev. Shechita on Shabbos, obviously. And yet, in the case of Chovel V'Tzarech Damli Afro, I'm sorry, Dam Lekalbo, or in the case of Mavir Tzorach Liafro, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're potter. Now, if we're applying the principle of Meleches Machsheves, and we're saying that since he wants the benefit, that makes it into a tikkun, and that's why Yechaya Feshchita, then why not apply the same yardstick to the cases of Tzorach Lekalbo, and Tzorach Liafro, in those cases as well, he needs the Malacha for whatever he needs it, for the Dam, for the Kelev, for the Afer. Why not say that makes it into a Tikkun through the mechanism of Meleches Machsheves? Why does Meleches Machsheves work L'chumra in the case of Shechita, where he needs the Heter HaBosar, and it doesn't work L'chumra in the cases of Tzorach Dam L'Kalbo and Tzorach Esa'esh Liafro? There also we should apply and activate the principle of Meleches Machsheves. He needs the dam for his kelev. He needs the afer for whatever purpose he needs it. That should upgrade it to the status of a tikkun. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not called a tikkun. So here we quoted Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that in order to transform a kilkul into a tikkun, we need that tikkun take place immediately, simultaneously with the kilkul. We have both a kilkul and a tikkun inherent in that very action, in that very malacha. For example, in the case of shochet, immediately with the shechita, you have the kilkul, the animal is now dead, worth considerably less, and you have the tikkun that you are matir, the basar, L'achila. It was Avram and Achai a second ago, now it's no longer Avram and Achai. So Tosa says in such a case we can give significance to the tikkun, upgrade it to a tikkun. Why? Because the tikkun offsets the kilkul insofar as he wants that tikkun. So if you ask him what is that Maisa Shechita itself, the answer is the Maisa Shechita itself is a tikkun. Why? Because his machshava, his desire, is to be matir the basar. So that shechita itself inherently becomes a meleches tikkun. Masha ein kein in the case of chovel, where he victimizes someone, injures him, and takes his blood, when does it become a tikkun? only when he feeds his dog. Only when the dam is collected and he can use the dam to feed his dog. At that point, it becomes a tikkun, but that's too late already. We have to establish that the kilkel itself is a tikkun, meaning the action of beating this guy up and weakening him is itself a tikkun. Why is it a tikkun? There's no tikkun here. As far as the beating up the person and extracting his blood, that's only kilkel. Later on, he's going to benefit from the dam that he collects. That's not inherent in the act of chavola. And therefore, chavola remains a kilkel. And Rabbi Yehuda says that chovil v'tzartam li'afro v'tzartam li'kalbo is potter. In the case of havara, the moment of havara is the moment when the trees, the wood, go up in smoke. At that moment, there's no tikkun inherent in the eitzim. What he has later on is the eifer.
Why is the shechita tikkun again?
Because the shechita is matir, the iser eifer menachai. The very moment that he sheds two simanim, all the basa, which was until now, Avram and Achai henceforth, at that very split second, simultaneous with the kilkel of killing the animal, becomes basa heter. So the flesh of the animal now is transformed from Isa to heter. That's called a tikkun. Ah, you'll tell me, but the kilkel outweighs the tikkun, and that's why shechita with a sack in Shalom Avodah Zorah is mutter. The answer is yes. As far as Isra'el Noah, the ultimate calculation here, when I look at the whole spreadsheet with the assets and the deficits, that's kilkel. The thumb is down. And that's not called hanah. And it's mutter and shechita of Avodah Zorah with that sakin. But as far as Meleches Machsheves is concerned, since the act of shechita has within it a matir, he wants that heter. He wants to remove the Yisra, Avram, Achai, and be matir the boss. So that makes it into a tikkun. His Machsheva, together with the second condition, that inherent in the shechita there's a tikkun, that upgrades it to the status of a tikkun. However, in the case of Tzarech Dam LeKalbo, they're the Chavala per se. When he beats up the guy and he victimizes him and he takes blood, he wounds him, that itself is pure kilkel. Hello, what? You're going to tell him, but he has a plan here. Ultimately, from this kilkel will arise a tikkun. The answer is, that's not sufficient. To establish the Maisa Malacha, in this case the Chavola, as a Meleches Tikkun, we need that the Tikkun be inherent in the Maisa itself. And that only applies to Shechita. Now all this has to be put on the side. When I say on the side, I mean on the screen, but on one side of the screen. We can't lose sight of this. And now I want to move to the other side of the screen. Let's go over to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says that chovel v'tzarech dam lekalbo is chayav. He's willing to say that that's a tikkun ktsas. And a tikkun ktsas we recognize and we validate. And that's going to make the hotzas hadam into a meleches tikkun. And here we ask the following question. But after all, it's a melacha she'ena tzricha leguf. For the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Pehei that even though Rav Shimon holds mekalkil b'chabur chayev, but it's got to be a melacha tzricha legufa. And Tosis worked, did somersaults in the sky in order to come up with tzricha legufa with Isuri Hanah. But let's ask a more fundamental question. Forget about Isuri Hanah. Let's talk about tzarech dam lekalbo. That which lechora should be a classical case of malacha shein etzricha legufa. He doesn't need to beat up the guy. He needs to get the dam to feed his kelev. We called it, if you remember the language, tikkun mitzad acher, or a tzorech tzdadi. It's external to the malacha. So that's called ein etzricha legufa. How then can Rav Shimon say against Rav Yehuda that in the case of tzorech dam lekalbo, you're chaya for that chavola? Why isn't the malach isn't a classical case of malach shein tzricha legufa? And it's similar to chofer guma v'yeno tzorech el liafra. And the same question we could ask with regard to lighting a fire when I need the ashes. So here, Rabosa, we said something that has nothing to do with what we discussed now on this side of the screen, meaning tikkun versus kilkel, where we said that if inherent in the maisa, he has a machshava for a tikkun, that converts it and upgrades it from a meleches makalkel to tikkun, that's fine and dandy, but now we're discussing something totally different. We're talking about molacha shein etzricha legufa. He doesn't need the gufa molacha. And if he doesn't need the gufa molacha, that should itself be a p'tur, according to Rav Shimon, who holds molacha shein etzricha legufa p'tur. Ella, what are you going to tell me? But Rav Shimon holds makalkel b'chabur eschayev. Okay, makalkel b'chabur eschayev. That's wonderful, but I still need a tzricha legufa. And if I'm taking the dam out in order to use it for my kelev, that's called a malach shen tzricha legufa. So here we discuss the chiddush. What's the gufa of meleches chovel? We thought the gufa of meleches chovel is the nechbal, the person who was injured. If that be the case, our kasha remains outstanding. It's a malach shen tzrich leguf. He doesn't need the nechbal hurting and, you know, send him to the hospital. That's not what he needs. No, the gufa malach is not the nechbal, but rather what, Rabosai? The dam itself. Ki adamu nefesh, and taking out the dam is the malach of chabura. And we said that in Mila, part and parcel of Mila is to take out the dam, and that's what he has to do in Mila, and that makes him to a malach tzrich legufa. And therefore, Shimon is going to say, you're chayav for Mila. And even if you'll tell me that in Mila there's a tikkun, but it's only a tikkun ktsas, but Rav Shimon validates a tikkun ktsas, and therefore he's going to be chayav for that which is really a meleches kilkul, with a tikkun ktsas, the way Rav Yochanan understands it. And it's a malach atzrich leguf. And what makes it a malach atzrich leguf? Because he needs the dam. And we had the Gemara in Ksuvis on Daf Hayam and Beis that in the case of Be'ila Rishon, he needs the dam. And perhaps we suggested that maybe if there's dam that's infected and he has to take out the dam, maybe that would also be a malach atzrich leguf. For here too, he needs the dam. What's he going to do with the dam? He's going to feed his kelev. If he's going to feed his kelev, then he needs the dam. And now we have to say another chiddush in the case of burning down a haystack, that the haystack itself is the gufa shel malacha. Or, no, you know what, let's go with the Ramban. Okay, we'll go with the Ramban. Let's say according to the Ramban, the gufa shel malacha is the esh, not the etzim, and he needs the esh, because the esh is going to convert his etzim into what? Into efer, into ashes. Just make sure you pronounce the word ashes correctly. And he needs the ashes. Okay? And he needs it for what? For meleches chabura, for meleches havara. Havara means if I need the fire to create ashes, it means like following Rabosai, according to Tosfos and the Ramban against Rashi, when I use this wood to feed my fire and then I put a pot on my fire, that's called a malach atzricha legufa. Why is it called a tzricha legufa? I don't need the wood to go up in smoke. So if the wood is the chefta shel malacha, that shitas Rashi, then it's a malach shein atzricha legufa. But if the esh is the chefta shel malacha, then it's called a malach atzricha legufa. Why? Because I need the esh. I need the esh to put my pot on the fire and cook it. I need my esh to make ashes out of this wood, because I need the efer. That makes it a malach atzricha legufa. So Rabosai, let's just summarize so that we can move on everything that we know. I could really prepare an exam for you, you know, with 20 quiz questions. Okay? But we'll try to summarize a few questions here. Number one, what is the sheet of Rav Shimon in Chabura according to Rabbi Avo? And the answer is Rabosai, Rav Shimon holds Yechayiv, even if it's what? Kilkul Gomor. What's the sheet of Rav Shimon in Chabura according to Rabbi Yochanan? And the answer is we need a tikkun ktsas. What qualifies as a tikkun ktsas? Tzorech dam lekalbo and tzorech ha'efer. You'll ask me, but moda Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is going to be moda that you're potter for chovel if it's a malacha shein etzricha legufa. For example, the case where he removes the splinter and he has no need, no use for the dam. On the contrary, he wants the dam to stay within the body. And the Gemara says, therefore, you're allowed, according to Rav Shimon, to take out the thorn on Shabbos, knowing full well that some dam will come out. That's malacha shein etzricha legufa. Here, in the case of tzarech lekalbo, that's called tzricha legufa. He needs the dam. Here, in the case of mavir tzarech liafro, he needs the eish. And that's called tzricha legufa. Next quiz question. What's the shita that rejects this whole premise and assumes that chovel, like all the other malachas, requires a tikkun? That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And if you'll ask me the question, well, he needs the dam lekalbo, and he needs the eifer, therefore it should be considered a meleches tikkun. The answer is no. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't recognize a tikkun ktsas. The overall picture is very sad and very bleak. If the kilkul is much greater than the tikkun. No, if you'll ask me that question, so what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with meleches shchita? Why is shchita prohibited? After all, shchita, the kilkul, by far outweighs the tikkun. The animal is worth in its lifetime 1,000, now it's worth 500. And the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Ches that he can use a sakin shel shchita to shecht, because it's not considered nene, there's no anoya, because shchita is a kilkul. And the answer is, says Tosis, meleches machsheves asur Torah. And here we have a case of meleches machsheves l'chumra. And we're postulating that since he needs the heter abasar to remove the iser evra ben achai, that itself is a valid need, which converts the melacha of shochet on Shabbos into a meleches tikkun, a tikkun which even Rabbi Yehuda could recognize. Because this is not some sort of crazy tikkun like tzarech dam lekalbo. This is something that normal people do. They take an animal, they shecht it in order to eat the basar. And therefore we recognize it as a meleches tikkun. Tosis invokes the principle of meleches machsheves lechumra, which we established the basis for that is meleches zoreh. Who remembers what zoreh is?
Using wind.
Winnowing, correct. You use the wind, and we called it a meleches machsheves, even though you use the you utilize the forces of nature. And the answer is that the Torah recognizes that if you can achieve your goal by utilizing the forces of nature, then you're chayav for such a melacha. And that's called meleches machsheves. Alright. So Tzvi, you missed the quiz. So we'll give you a makeup test. I had a little quiz here.
The answer is Amar Rabbi Meir, correct?
Right, very good. Amar Rabbi Meir. Okay, Rabbi, so I want you to take a look at the Mishnah Brura for a minute. Does everybody have a photocopy of the Mishnah Brura?
I have extra copies of maybe.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
I have one or two.
So let's give out the Mishnah Brura. And this you'll find in Simon Shin Tes Zion. And we're talking about something called Shmoneh Shrotzim. Now what this Shmoneh Shrotzim is all about is the following. There are many kinds of insects and creatures that crawl upon the face of the earth. And there are 8 shrotzim that are very unique. Why? Because they have what you might call a thick skin. That's called, in the Gemara's language, it's called Yeshlem R. R is spelled with an ayin. Now we're going to see that in Hilchas Shabbos, the fact that they have an R, a thick skin, in these 8 cases, and there's a perek in Shas called Shmoneh Shrotzim, that's very significant in Hilchas Shabbos. And why is that? Because Hachovel Bahem, if a person takes a, what do we want to call it? What do you smack a,
a hammer.
Not a hammer. I'm looking for something that would be a little bit more...
A fly swatter.
Okay, we'll call it a swatter. Okay. He swats this sheretz. And now the question is he chayav for meleches chavola? So if the dam comes out, that's one thing. But let's say the dam didn't come out. That's called, in the language of the Shas, Nitzrar Hadam Tachas Ha'or. Okay, then Nitzrar Hadam Tachasor.
It's trapped.
Correct, it's trapped. It's what we call in America, I don't know if you use the same phrase in England, a black and blue mark.
Yeah.
We probably got it from the Brits. Okay. So what's a bruise? A bruise is when the blood is there, it's coagulated under the skin. That's only if you have skin. Most shrotzim don't have a skin. The skin is such a thin membrane that either blood goes out or it never moved from the spot. You know, you never to when you in all shrotzim with the exception of these 8, if you take out the dam, you'll see the dam. Here, in these eight shrotzim, you can remove the dam without actually removing the dam. The dam is caught, is trapped underneath the level of the skin. Now, because of this nitzra adam, that itself creates a malacha, which we're not going to discuss now. This is a very complicated business. That's called meleches tzovea. Tzovea means dying. Yes. Dying means that the skin is let's say skin color, and now it's blue, so you dyed the skin. And by the way, some people gain from that in terms of what you sell on the market. If you sell the skins of certain
With tattooing.
Tattooing, it's probably nitzvar, it's underneath the skin. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. But now, let's talk about another case of chavola, with shar shrotzim. So shar shrotzim, the balance of the shrotzim, not these eight, they don't have what? An R, is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, eino chayev achovol behem, elin kein yotze behem hadam. There you've got to see the dam come out, because if you didn't see the dam come out, then this is not called chovel. Chovel means to take the dam out. So you might be able to take the dam out in the case of Shmona Shrotzim through Nitzar Hadam, because the dam is trapped under the skin, but in the case of Shar Shrotzim, then you've got to see the dam. So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah number Lamed, you have such a thing? I think I meant to circle the Lamed. I don't know if I did. Okay, but he says the following. Nokat chavola b'shrotzim. So we're talking about chavola b'shrotzim, which means to take out the dam. Mishum debahu, with regard to shrotzim, yesh shrotzim she'en lehem or, v'enum chayvat she'etze adam. So the classical sheretz does not have a skin, and therefore you have to take out the dam. And in the other cases of Shmona Shrotzim, then the dam is removed. Now, in the previous Mishnah Berurah, which is number Chavtes, which I didn't ask you to look at, there he mentions that the essence of Meleches Chavola is Netilas Neshama. And he quotes the Pasuk Ki Adamu HaNefesh. And therefore, you could be Chayev, in this case of Chavola and Shrotzim, in one of two scenarios. Either if the dam comes out, and all you need is a kolshu, a minimum amount of dam that was extracted, because the dam is the nefesh. Or, he says, nitzrar adam, if some of the dam is coagulated, that's in the case of the Shmona Shrotzim, that's also considered as if that dam was removed from the circulatory system. And the nafka mina is going to be, even if he doesn't need the coloring of the skin, you know, he's not selling, you know, red leopard skin or whatever. Well, leopard is not a sheretz, but anyway, snake skin. He's not selling red snake skin, dyed snake skin. But nevertheless, he took out the blood, and therefore, that's called meleches netilas nisham. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah adds a clause, a condition. Because when you read the Shulchan Aruch, you get the impression that you take this swatter, you know, you bang the sheretz over the back, and the dam comes out, and you chai from leches netilas nisham. Oh, no. That's a kilkul. That's not a tikkun. Any case of taking out dam is always a kilkul. If you want to say that you're going to be chayev for chavola, then there's got to be some sort of meleches tikkun over here. Again, he's not going according to Rabbi Shimon, correct? Or shall I say Rabbi Avo's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon? Because if you remember, Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Shimon holds that you chai for kilkul gomer in chovel. So who cares whether you need the dam or not? But let's take, for example, Rabbi Shimon according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says you need a tikkun ksas, like for example, chavolav, and he needs the dam to feed his kelev. Says the Mishnah Berurah, kol zem mairi, when does this halacha of chavol apply? Kishetzorech ledam hachavola, in the condition that he needs the dam that he's taking out of the sheretz, lekalbo. So he's feeding his dog dam shrotzim, olieza inyan, or he needs the dam for something else. And then if you skip a little bit, he says, the lafach, if he doesn't need the dam at all, is hu bechlal mekalkel upata. So the premise of the Mishnah Berurah is that we paskin that you need an element of tikkun. Again, maybe a tikkun ktsas is sufficient, but I'll call upon him, at least we need some element of tikkun in order to be chayef chavola. And you're not chayef chovel in a kilkul gomor. Now you know that the Mishnah Berurah also authored the Sharat Ziyun, and that's on the bottom. So if you take a look at the Sharat Ziyun Mem Hei, he writes, Kain Kosov HaRambam Sheposak Rav Yochanan Legavi Rabbi Yevo Talmido. Very interesting. He throws in a little history here. He says that Rabbi Yochanan is the Rebbe and Rabbi Yevo is the Talmud. Maybe that explains why the Rebbe was so harsh with the Talmud. He says, Puk Tani Levra. He told him, take your Vraisa and skedah, you know, and walk away, walk outside with it. So the Rambam paskins like Rav Yochanan. No, if the Rambam paskins like Rav Yochanan, then Chovel and a Kilkul Gomor is Potter, and Chovel is only Chayev if there's a Tikkun Ktzas. Nu Memela, when I go back to the Mechaber who says that I'm Chayev from Meleches Chabura, when I smack this Sheretz and I take his blood out, it's got to have some sort of element of Tikkun, at least a Tikkun Ktzas according to Rav Yochanan, to say you're Chayev, and therefore we have to insist that we're talking about a case of Tzorech Dam L'Kal. Okay then?
The Rambam was pussy for Rabbi Yehuda.
About Tzorech Dam L'Kalbo? I don't know. The truth is, Tzvi, I plead the fifth. I did not do that research. I was relying here in the Mishnah Berurah. We can either take a break now and do this, or we could do this a little bit later on. I suggest we do this a little later on. Let's open up a Rambam and see how the Rambam paskins.
In terms of machloket, malachshem sukkah gufa.
The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, but no, I'm talking about Chovel. Malachas Chovel. And I think he paskins like Rabbi Shimon, but with the version of Rabbi Yochanan that you need a tikkun ktsas. So what I expect to find in the Rambam is that if he needs dam lekalbo, he's going to be chayef. So let's hold that off for a few minutes. And what I'd like to do now, and I hope we all have a photocopy of Shabbos Daf Ayin Hay. I think we copied that yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Anyone else need an Ayin Hay? Going once, going twice? Now you'll see a Tosus Divar Maskel Tfeh, which is the next to the last Tosus on the page. And towards the end of that Tosus, about 2.5 lines before the end of the Tosus Divar Maskel Tfeh, you'll see Vitema. The Vesof Perakam de Chagiga, Mashma, Now that's a mouthful, but let's try to understand what's going on. You know, Ben, I'm just realizing if you have an extra Ayin Hay, mine is a little bit small for my eyes. Thanks, I'll borrow this. Remind me to give it back to you. Oh, okay. Okay. Now, what's Tosis all about? The Gemara says the following. Hatzod chilozon. So this would be, if you're counting up from the bottom of Daf Ayin Hamad Aleph, it would be approximately, I would say, 12 lines up. You have such a thing? Tan Rabbanan. Hatsod chilozon. Let's see if I can help you find it here in the Gemara. It's Tan Rabbanan here. You have it? Tan Rabbanan. You want to underline that so you'll know where it is? Okay. Now, what's the deal with this chilazon? The chilazon has a unique kind of liquid, we'll call it a very unique blood inside of it, which is also used as what? As a dye, right? As tcheles. Okay, dye, D-Y-E. Now, the first thing he does is he captures the chilazon. Now, when you capture a live animal or being, then you violate which malacha? Anybody know? Seder. So that's called maleches seder. But now he goes on. He has the chilazon, he captured it. And now what does he do? He does something called ptzia. In the verb, it's called potzo, and the noun, it's called ptzia. Rashi explains, what is this ptzia? Rashi says, ha-potzo dochako biyadav. He squeezes this chilazon with his fingers. Kidei sheyetze hadam, to get out the blood which he needs as a dye. So what we're going to see over here is that, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, he now, by doing this act of ptzia, has added another malacha. In addition to the tzeda, for which, again, assuming he did it b'shogeg, he's got to bring a karbon chatos, he now has violated another malacha and for this ptzia, and now he's going to have to bring a second karbon chatos. And the machlokas here, the chachamim say, no, he's not chayef for ptzia, he's only chayef for tzeda, revolves around the issue of maleches disha. And disha means when you break something open, something natural, in order to release, in order to free something inside of it. Is that is somebody calling us? Or?
No, we have Yehuda on the conference call.
Okay. So that's called maleches disha. And the question is whether ptzia, when he breaks open the, I guess you call it the arteries or whatever it is of this chilazon to get out the dye, is that called maleches disha? And that's a subject of machlokas here between chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. If I could just ask for a favor here, if Ben, you can hold on to this, because it's distracting me. I'm not able to concentrate. Okay, thank you so much. Okay. Now, the Gemara says the following. You've been analyzing this chilazon case from the perspective of tzeda and from the perspective of the ptzia as disha. Why not add another element into the equation? V'lichayev nami mishum netilas neshama. So if everyone could underline those words so you have it, it's, you know, count up from the bottom of the page. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom of the page. The first word in the line is karka. And you should underline the words, v'lechayev nami mishum netilas nisham. So the Gemara holds that this dye is a dam, or some sort of a liquid substance that gives life to the chilazon. And when you remove this dye, then you're removing the life of the chilazon. So why is it that you're analyzing this whole issue of psia from the perspective of disha? Forget about disha. Even if the chacham say that there's no maleches disha here, because chilazon is not called giduli karka, whatever it might be, but the chacham should agree that you incur a second chiyuv chatos for violating maleches b'tilas neshama. Again, even if there's no disha here, for technicality, that's called ein disha le giduli karka, chilazon is not giduli karka. I don't want to get into that now. We're not learning maleches disha. But let him be chay from maleches netilas neshama.
Is that one of the 39 malachot?
Yes, it's one of the 39 malachot. It might be listed. I don't have the. If you take a look, there's a. I don't want to bother Harvey here, but you have a Gemara. So if you take a look on Ayin Gimel, I think it's called Shochet. Was it called netilas neshama in the Mishnah? No, I think it's called Shochet.
Where is that?
On Daf Ayin Gimel. Here, right here. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Let's just see, what does it have here? Shochet, right? Only has Shochet. Shochet is the same as the Tils Nishon, which is the same as Chabura, which is the same as Chofel. They're all synonymous terms as far as Melech HaShabbos is concerned. Each one has a nuance of a different meaning, but they all come under the same Melech. So the Gemara says the following, that in the case of Ptzia, he has no interest in taking the neshama of the chilaza. From his perspective, let the chilaza live. His chefta malacha is the dam, the die, not the... I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily relevant to us. But anyway, he needs to die, and he's not interested in killing the chilazon. And that's called eino miskaven. He doesn't have kavana for netilas neshama. The Gemara is not happy with that because the one who holds that dover sheni miskaven is potter on Shabbos is Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon is moda b'psik reisha. You know, you chop off the head of a chicken, it's going to die. And even though he's not interested in killing the chicken, he's killing the chicken. And that's his kavana, therefore he's chayev. That's called moda Reb Shimon psik reisha. Here too, if he's taking out the dam from the chilazon, what's going to happen to the chilazon? It's going to die. That's what he's doing. He's extracting the blood. So you can't call it a dover sheni miskaven, it's a psik reisha. So the Gemara says no. Shiny hacha. Here it's different. Why is it different here? The kama de isbe neshama tfei nichale ki hechi de litzlil tzive. That he's trying very hard to keep the chilazon alive. He's trying to extract the blood very selectively, carefully, very slowly, in such a way, painstakingly, with tircha, to make sure that the chilazon doesn't die. Because if you extract the dye before the death of the chilazon, then the dye is much more lively. It's much more powerful. And that's what Rashi says: dam hachai tov midam ames. It's better if he keeps it alive. So therefore, his kavan is to try to keep it alive. And then Rashi says, "V'chimode Rabbi Shimon b'midid lo ichbas lei misrami umiu ichav no lo machavim." But here, it's against his better interest that the animal dies. So again, you could say now that the death of the animal is a kilkul. Oh, now we could say the following. When he is potseya and he takes out the dam, he doesn't want the chilazon to die. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that's not netilas neshama. Netilas neshama means I want to take out the dam in such a way that it'll take the life of the dam. Here he doesn't want the life. He wants the dam to be very much alive. Oh, so now we're ready. Fetosis is kash. And that's the vitema that we saw at the end of Tosis Dibur Askel Tfei. We're going here in this sugya according to Reb Shimon. And the Gemara says, according to Reb Shimon, he's not chayef in Netilas Neshama. And Tosis assumes that the reason why he's not chayef in Netilas Neshama is because his tzorech is to keep the chilazon alive. If he's working hard to keep the chilazon alive, that's not a tzricha legufa. Tzricha legufa means he needs to take out the dam in meleches shochet and meleches netilas dam. To take out the dam, which means to take out the nefesh. On the contrary, from his perspective, the longer the chilazon stays alive, the better, because that contributes to the superior quality of the dye. So Tosa asks the following question. Okay, very nice. Reb Shimon is going to hold here that he's not chayef in Netilas Neshama because it's Eina Tzricha Legufa. But Eina Tzricha Legufa has no relevance to Meleches Kavalah, because Rabbi Shimon holds that Chovel is chayef even if he's Mekalkil. Mekalkil b'chabura chayef, which means that there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves with regard to chabura. If there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves, there should be no requirement of Melacha Tzricha Legufa. Therefore, he should be chayef even if it's a Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa. Is there anyone here who could express in his own words what bothers Tosus?
It's whether you're worried about the consequences.
Well, what is he worried about? Let me put it a little differently. What is he interested in, and what is he worried about, and not interested in, or what is he definitely negative about? Again, does he want to take out the dam chilazon?
Yeah.
Yes, that he needs for a die. Does he want the chilazon to die?
No.
D-I-E, right? No, he doesn't want the chilazon to die. The longer the chilazon stays alive, the better for him. That's where his interest lies. So he doesn't need the netilas neshama. Just like in the case where he digs a hole in the ground and he doesn't need the hole, he's not interested in planting, he needs the dirt. And that becomes a loch shein etzricha legufa, which Rav Shimon says is potter. Here too, you're potter. Rav Shimon says, mekalkel b'chabura is chayov, but it doesn't matter. Even though mekalkel b'chabura is chayov, but he's going to be potter in this case because it's ein etzricha legufa. What's the gufa shom aloch and etilas neshama? He doesn't want to take the neshama. On the contrary, he wants to keep the animal alive as long as he possibly can. So Tosus asks, I don't get it. If Mekalkil b'chabur is chayov, then it means that Meleches Chabur is unique within the constellation of the Melechas, and there's no requirement of what? Of Meleches Machsheves. If there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves, then there should be no requirement of Tzricha Legufa. Rabbi Shimon says we need a Melech HaTzricha Legufa to be chayov on Shabbos. That's because the Torah requires Meleches Machsheves. And if you have any doubts about it, Tosfos says, open up the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Amid Beis. The Gemara says that Shabbos is Torah Shebal Peh. And what's the Torah Shebal Peh of Shabbos? Meleches Machsheves. And that's why Reb Shimon says that Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter. So you see that Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter because of Meleches Machsheves. Now, if Chovel is Chayev, according to Reb Shimon, even if it is a Kilkul, then it means that you alleviate the requirement of Meleches Machsheves with regard to Chovel. And if you alleviate the requirement of Meleches Machsheves, then you can be chayv even if it's Eina Tzricha Legufa. There's a whole, you know, string of logic over here. You know, premises and premises and premises. You know, it's premise number one, that the reason why Shabbos is unique is because of Meleches Machsheves. Premise number two is the reason why Meleches Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter is because of Meleches Machsheves. Premise number three, Mekalkel is Potter because of Meleches Machsheves. Premise number four, Mekalkel b'chabur is Chayev. Premise number five is that if Mekalkel b'chabur is Chayev, therefore there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves in Chabur. And premise number six is therefore there should be no requirement of Tzricha Legufa in the case of Chovel. And all this is built on Rav Shimon Shita. And yet the Gemara assumes that in the case of Potzea, Chilazon, you're not going to be chai for Meleches Netilas Neshama. Why? Because it's a Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa. That's how Tosfos interprets the Sugya. And if it's a Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa, it's lacking in Meleches Machsheves, therefore you're Potter. But that doesn't make any sense in the case of Netilas Neshama, because Netilas Neshama is the one case where there is no requirement of Meleches Machsheves. And therefore, ipso facto, there should be no difference whether it's Tzricha Legufa or Eino Tzricha Legufa. Yeah.
I'm seeing a seeming contradiction, but the problem is with me and Arun Tosfo. But with the two different places, the minute you talk about removing blood, invoke the phrase Netilas Neshama.
Right.
But the intention is not to kill. Chances is to remove blood. So like, the chilazon, I want to keep the chilazon alive because I want more dye. It's good for my business. I'm in the talus business. And so too, when I just want a little bit of blood for my dog, I don't want to kill the guy. So Nitzas Yisha Neshama seems a strange phrase to use, because that's usually killing, but it's just drawing some blood. So that's my one of my issues.
Right. So again, let me just reformulate Ben's question in my own words, and Ben, you'll tell me if this is what you're asking. In the case where he wants to get the dam out of the chilazon, that's called tzricha legufa. He wants the gufa malach, which is netilas adam. The netilas adam equals netilas neshama. True, the Gemara establishes that he wants to keep the chilazon alive as long as he can, but nevertheless, he wants to get the dam out. And if he wants to get the dam out, he needs the dam. That itself is a tzricha legufa, because the dam is a nefesh. Apparently, the Gemara is postulating some sort of relationship here between the dam that's alive and the dam that's extracted and now is dead. I don't know how to construct this, but again, your question notwithstanding, and it has to be addressed, but the conceptual framework that we're interested in is the following. Could it be that Rabbi Shimon, in the case of Meleches Chabura and Yechayev as a Kilkul, would nevertheless require Tzricha Legufa? And if that be the case, the paradox is that if Rabbi Shimon says that Yechayev from a Kalkil in Meleches Chabura, it means that we're dropping the ball and neutralizing the requirement of Meleches Machshavas. Once we do that, why would Rav Shimon insist on a malacha tzricha legufa? And in truth, that's what the sugya in Sanhedrin Pei Hei is all about. I don't know why Tosis didn't invoke that sugya. That would be a clear-cut proof to Tosis' premise that even though Chabura in Rav Shimon's frame of reference is chayav b'makalkel, but nevertheless you still need tzricha legufa, otherwise how am I allowed to take out the dam in the case of the thorn on Shabbos? The answer is because it's a malacha shen tzricha legufa. I'm a kalkel b'chabur is chayev. The answer is, makalkel b'chabur is chayev, but malach shen tzricha legufa is potter. And there's no stira between those two. And when Tosis gave the scenario of Isuri Ano, we worked very hard to explain that with regard to Melecha Shabbos, kilkul is objective, and this was the Pnei Yoshua's business, and therefore taking out dam from someone and weakening him thereby is certainly called a kilkul, but it's still tzricha legufa, because tzricha legufa is not objective, but rather subjective. So you can have kilkul, but it's still tzricha legufa. So for example, in Isuri Anah, this dam is worth nothing. It's also by Anah. You can't benefit from it at all. But yet, he's tzricha legufa. He, in his mind, thinks that he can use the dam. That makes it into tzricha legufa. And so too in the case of Tzarech LeKalvo, even though in the objective perspective it's really a kilkul, as we saw in the case of Shechita, but nevertheless, as far as his Tzricha LeGufa is concerned, it is considered Tzricha LeGufa. He needs the dam. Ah, I know the answer to your question, Ben. Ah, now I got it. Sorry. We have to take a biology course in the Chilazon. Bio 1.1 in chilazon. There are two liquids in the chilazon. One is the dye and one is the dam. The dye is what gives life to the chilazon. The dye has no relationship to the life of the chilazon. It's what we would call, if you remember the Gemara Ksuvus Heyom and Beis, Mifkat Bakin. It's not part of the circulatory system. But what happens is, inevitably, when he takes out the dye of the chilazon, he also extracts some of the dam. But that's called Einet Tzricha Legufa, because he doesn't want the netilas neshama of the dam. On the contrary, as long as the dam is within, the dye is a superior dye. Okay. So now I want you to take a look at a sugya on Daf Tzadi Dalit, Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. And that's the photocopy that we prepared for you for today. Okay then? Now let me just get my bearing here. Okay. I think I made 6 copies. So we should have enough to go around. There's some copies on the table, am I right? Or everybody got one? Everyone got? Sari Gimel Amid Beis. And we're going to take a look at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Sari Gimel Amid Beis. Hamotzi Ochlin Pachos Mikishir Bikli.
What is that?
It's Sari Gimel Amid Beis.
Sari Gimel.
Yeah. That would be the equivalent of 93B. Can you find that? I think, Harvey, you even have a photocopy of it here, somewhere on the desk here. Oh, so you have now two choices. You can either use the photocopy or the original.
Uh-huh.
What would you add?
This one.
That you want to take the photocopy?
Yeah.
So could I get the Gemara then?
Yes.
All right, we'll make a deal. All right. Okay. Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. Hamotzi Ochlin Pochos Mikishir. Now, when a person violates Meleches Hotzah by carrying something from Rishus HaYochid, let's say, out to Rishus HaRam, he's got to carry a certain minimum volume. Which, again, I don't want to confuse you now, that's called a grogeris. But here he didn't carry a full grogeris' worth, but rather Pochos Mikishir. Now he puts this pachos mikashir into a utensil. He's not carrying it in his hands, he's carrying it in a kli. So let's assume that there's no shear in the dates or whatever, you know, the half a date that he has in the shear, in the kli, or the half a fig. But nevertheless, there's a shear in the kli itself. So let him be chayav for carrying the kli. So the Mishnah says that he's potter from the kli. Afal pi shakli. Afalakli, why? Shakli tfeilolo. Okay, that's a very profound concept, has philosophical meaning as well, and it's called tfeilolo, that the kli utensil is only serving the contents that are being carried by this receptacle, and therefore the receptacle itself is completely insignificant. He's not chayav for carrying the kli because he's only interested in what's in the kli, and what's in the kli in this particular case is pachos mikashir. So we want to shut these pot. He's potter on the pachos mikashir, and he's potter on the kli because the kli is tofel. Es hachai b'mita, if he's carrying a live person out in a bed, potter afal amita, he's potter for carrying the chai because there's no meleches hotzah on a live being that has the ability to walk on its own. Anybody know what that's called? Hachai nosei es atzma. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, a live person carries himself, or a live animal carries itself. Yeah. So this guy is alive and well. Oh, but let him be chai for the mita. And once again, the Mishnah invokes the principle, shamita tfeilolo. Oh, but es hames b'mita, but if he's got a corpse in this coffin, chayav. Then he's going to be chayv because here you cannot apply the principle of hachai nosei es atzmo because the chai is not chai. Okay? Now, how much constitutes, let's say for example you have a dead animal. So what's the shear of the animal? How much flesh are you carrying that's considered a shear? So here the Gemara, the Mishnah postulates a new shear. It's not the grogeris that I told you about, but rather kizayis min ames. The shear is going to be a kizayis. Now, notice that in classical meleches hotzah, you want to get an object from point X to point Y. Point X is what's called the akira, makom hakira. Point Y is called the makom hanocha. You remember this?
Yeah.
Here, he wants to take out the mess, not because he wants to put it down in a certain place, he wants to get it to a certain place, but rather, he wants to be mesalek me'olav, he wants to get it out of here. Right, if you remember, Shmuel had that mushal of just throwing something out the window, I don't care where it lands. That's called, in Reb Shimon's terminology, what? Anybody remember? when again I'm not interested in taking it out of here and putting it in a specific place, which is called the Makom Mesuyam, the Makom Anocha, that's called the Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Afilu B'mesh Sholem, it doesn't matter how much flesh you remove, a kezias or even the entire body, Da'avi Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. He doesn't really want to put it in a certain place. He wants to just get rid of it, take it out of here, get it out of here. Okay, now there's a whole line here which I'm going to read but skip, basically, because that will take us really on a different, whole different tangent. Okay, whatever that means. Hilkach, oh, this is the punchline, and here's where I want you to underline your photocopy. Lav meleches machshevesi li Rabbi Shimon. So clearly, Rabosai, if I take the beginning of this Rashi with the end of the Rashi and I connect it together, what conclusion, what principle can I draw? What's not meleches machshevesi? Can you say the whole sentence? You know, make believe there's a 6-year-old boy, you know, he's a cheder yingle, and tell him the whole sentence from beginning to end. It ends with Malachas Makshavas, but what does it start with? Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. So, according to Rashi, Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is Pater L'Rib Shimon because of Malachas Makshavas. Rashi says it clearly. Hilkach Lav Malachas Makshavas L'Rib Shimon. And again, this reflects what we saw in Chagiga Daf Yudam in Beis, where Rashi says that Malechas Machshevis means he has to have a Machshava and a Kavana, and he's not interested in the Gufa Shel Malach. The Gufa Shel Malach is Hotzah. What is Hotzah? Hotzah means to put it down in a certain place. Hanacha, which means placing it down, is the critical, essential element in Malechas Hotzah. He's not interested in Hanacha. He just wants to get it out of here. Now I want you to turn your page to Daf Tzadi Dalid Amud Aleph. Okay. And here, I want you to look at Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Rabbi Shimon. Now that's a gigantic, gigantic Tosfos, and we could probably spend a great deal of time on this Tosfos. What I'd like to do is just study the beginning of Tosfos, because I think that's all that we need. Now you may notice that this Tosfos is published, is printed on Daf Tzadi Dalet Omen Aleph. I don't know, in your Gemara, I don't know.
Same.
Now that's a printing mistake. What happened is the printer ran out of space because it would, like, there's a velt of Tosfos in here. So the spillover Tosfos, and he put on Daf Tzadi Dalet Omen Aleph. But really, this Reb Shimon Poter in Tosfos is just a comment on our Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, three lines up from Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. So don't be scared by the fact that this Tosfos is on the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. In fact, in my Gemara, and I think you should have it also in your photocopy, there's a little Os Yud Beis before Rabbi Shimon. Again, you have to have a magnifying glass for that. But if you see it, that little Os Yud Beis, it tells you the Mesoras Hashas Shayach L'Sham. Okay, it doesn't matter. Let's not waste any time on that because I see it's getting late. Nira L'Ri. Rabosai, this is one of the most important statements that we have ever seen since we started learning together. And I want you to underline it with 3 exclamation marks. Nira L'Ri. De Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa. What is Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa? We've been dealing with this concept over and over again. Kari means it's called, or it's considered, I guess, or defined. Kisha Ose Malacha, V'ein Tzorech, he doesn't need, Li Oso Tzorech, Ke'ein Shayu Tzrichim La B'mishkan. He's a little bit verbose here, but basically he's saying that there's something called a Tzorech. And we have to make an equation here between his tzorech and the tzorech that they had in the Mishkan. If we have that equation and they're equal, then it's tzricha legufa. But if he doesn't have that tzorech, In other words, the tzorach that they had in the Mishkan, we'll call it X, but he has a different tzorach, Ela Inyan Acher, he has tzorach Y. Then it's a malacha shein etzrich leguf Rav Shimon al Yepatur, ki hatzorech shahaisa mishkan nases b'shvilo b'mishkan hu guf hamalacha v'sharshal. Very dramatic tosus here. He says that that tzorech, and again it's going to be tzorech times 39 for each malach individually, shahaisa b'mishkan, that Nasis b'shvil b'mishkan, that the malacha was done for that particular tzorech, we'll call it X, in the Mishkan. That tzorech is guf hamalacha v'sharshav. That is the essence of the malacha and its root. Rabosai, what principle does Tosus omit here? In other words, I think we could have, if we had Rashi here, you know, if Rashi were writing the Tosus, so to speak, he could have taken three lines in Tosus and squeezed it into two words. Which two words? No, Rashi doesn't breathe a word about Tzorach LeMishkan. Tosus gives this whole long harangue. And he says, well, each malach, let's take it, let's analyze, let's put it in. What did they do in the Mishkan? What was the tzorach for which they did in the Mishkan? Now we compare it to him. He did the same malach, but he didn't have the same tzorach. He had an inyan acher. Rashi could have summarized this all in two words, namely what? Melechas Machsheves. Why does Tosus need Melechas Machsheves? Why does Tosus need this whole malach, this whole presentation, this long, complicated presentation? He seems to be allergic to the simple pshat of Meleches Machsheves. And Rabosai, I derive the following conclusion, and this is pretty way out, that Tosus holds that Meleches Machsheves is totally irrelevant to Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon's p'tur in Melech Shem Tzich Leguf is not reflected by or generated by Meleches Machsheves, but by a different principle at all. And that entirely different principle, and that is that we need the tzorach of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is going to define not just the malacha, but also the tzorach, the purpose of the malacha. We always point out that in Melech HaShabbos there are two dimensions. There's the Maisa Malacha and there's the Tachlis HaMalacha, meaning the purpose of the Malacha. Or in modern Hebrew we'd say Matarat HaMalacha, right? So we're going to define, based on Mishkan, not only the Maisa Malacha, but even the Tachlis HaMalacha. And that means that the motivation and the purpose for which you are implementing the Malacha has to be identical with that which they were motivated in the Mishkan when they built the Mishkan. So for example, if in the Mishkan they dug a hole in order to plant samamonim, because they needed for the dyes in order to color the curtains, then when you do a malach of digging a hole in the ground, you have to have in mind that your need and your tachlis is the same as in the Mishkan in order to plant the samamonim or whatever you want to plant inside that hole. But if he doesn't need the hole, he's not interested in the least bit in planting, he wants the dirt, that's called eino tzorech legufa, because the gufa means the way it was needed in the Mishkan. So every single maisa malach in the Mishkan of the 39 had a heftz, it had an object. That was called a gufa malacha. And if you need that object, then you are doing a malacha tzricha legufa. If you don't, then it's not dumya de Mishkan. It's not similar to the way they did it in the Mishkan. If it's not similar to the way they did it in the Mishkan, he's not chayav. So for example, Tosus goes on and he says that lefize asi kula shaper otzas hames, he takes out the corpse. Ain't tzarech lemes, he doesn't need the mess in another place. He has no use for the mess. He just wants to free his own house of the mess. But in the Mishkan, when they took chafatzim and they took it out, they needed chafatzim. They needed those objects. Here he doesn't need the mess. He just wants to purify defumigate his house. Or for example, Shotziu. Or Tzad Nochash, for example. Let's say he captures a serpent. So in the Mishkan, they needed the animal that they captured because they took its skin, its hides, and they used it, like for example, the tchashim, But here, this person is tzad nachash. Why is he capturing the nachash? Why is he clapping? You know, he takes a cage, I don't know what, a bowl, a large bowl, and he puts it on top of the nachash. Shelo yishachena. He just wants to save himself from the nachash. Is eino litzarch nachash? He's not in the least bit interested in capturing the nachash. In the Mishkan, hayitzrich letachash v'chilazon. They needed these animals, and that's why they trapped them. So you're only chayef at seido if you want to trap the animal, but if you're not interested in trapping the animal, but rather you're protecting yourself, that's called ein tzricha legufa. Umafis mursa, when he opens up a boil, lahotzi lecha, and he wants to remove the pus, hamazikaso, because the pus is bothering him, but he doesn't need an opening, is eino omed likanes lahachnis avil lahotzi lecha tamid. He's not establishing a permanent pesach, an opening, which will allow the air to go in and the lecha, the pus, to go out. It's afal pisha nasa pas gomur, pesach gomur, even though he's opening it in a very nice way, and it's going to be a permanent opening. And it's roi lahachnis lahotzi, but he doesn't need it. And since he doesn't need the Pesach, lo dummy le psachim shebe mishkan, because back in the Mishkan, everything has to be dummy le mishkan. What was the purpose and what was the heftz in the Mishkan of each malach? Here he doesn't need it. In the Mishkan, they made a Pesach for what? Likanes lehotzi. Let's say they made a Pesach in the Mishkan so you can go in and out of the Mishkan. But he's not interested in making a Pesach to allow the air to go in and the pus to go out. Avalasas l'peh. If he was interested in creating an opening in this boil so that the air would go in and the pus would go out, damyul mishkan, then it would be similar to mishkan. V'chayev, and then it would be chayev. So basically, again, we have to go through the whole Tosas, but the bottom line in Tosas is that malach hatzricha legufa means dumya de mishkan. Not only do we derive all the 39 malachs from the Mishkan, but we also derive another clause or condition in the Malachas HaMishkan, in the Malach of Shabbos, that it's got to be Dumya de Malachas HaMishkan. And Dumya de Malachas HaMishkan means, according to Rav Shimon, the purpose for which they did the Malacha in the Mishkan. Is Rabosai, if this be the case, we can now go back to Tosis on Daf Ayin Hamid Beis and answer the Kasha Tosis. Tosis, he doesn't understand. Rav Shimon says the Makalkal B'chabura is chayav, it means he doesn't require Malachas Machsheves. So why does Rav Shimon admit that if it's Eino Tzricha Legufa, that he's potur? So for example, he doesn't need the death of the Chilazon at all. So in that sense, taking if the blood goes out, he's not interested in that Netilas Neshama, becomes a Malachas Tzricha Legufa. So Tosfos asks, but in any event, Rav Shimon doesn't require Malachas Machsheves in Chovel, because Malachas Chovel is chayav even by Makalkel. The answer is that there are two different dinim here. There's one din of Makalkel. Makalkel is potur on Shabbos because it's not a Malachas Machsheves. And in the case of Chabur, you don't require Malachas Machsheves. Therefore, you're going to be chayev for Makalkel. But in the case of Tzricha Legufa, that's another requirement. It's a totally independent requirement. The Malach has to be done for the purpose in which that Malach was done in the Mishkan. And the Malach was done in the Mishkan to be notel the Neshama, in order to take the Dam. They needed the Dam. Here, he doesn't need the dam. He needs to die, but not the dam. And as far as the death of the chilos and Adarav, he wants the chilos to remain as. So that's called Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. That has nothing to do with Malachas Machsheves. Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is a separate category, and it's a separate requirement based on Dumya de Mishkan. Okay, Rav Osei, so what I'd like you to do during the Chavrusa time is to go over these sources that we've been going through. I think you may have seen the Mishnah Berurah already yesterday. If you want to go over it again, we'll look for the Rambam Tzvi that you mentioned. And then we want to go through the Tzad Chilos on Sugya on Daf Ayin Hei with the Tosas Kash on Daf Ayin Hei. Then we want to take a look on Daf Tzadi Gimel and Beis and Daf Tzadi Dalet Amun Aleph. And I also want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Shana Tova. Our next meeting will be in Tovshin Ayin Ches and Mitzvah Hashem. You should all be Zochet to Shana Tova Metuka.